I really believe what I'm about to tell you here. This is one of those truths that has meant something, not just something else you say. I really believe this. So I trust that I can convey it into your heart the same way that you would be deeply touched as well. Don't worry so much about the notes on the overhead here. The other day I gave them to Val and I said, well, try and figure it out if you can. And apparently she didn't, couldn't, because I was in a hurry and I laid it out wrong. Just so you say, what in the world is that? You might have to just kind of analyze that a little bit and think about it. But so pray with me. Father, bless this thy word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the thought of the kingdom stirs up lots of confusion in people's mind as to what is the kingdom. It clarified for me when somebody taught on this years ago in my life, years and years ago. And they said, you'll never go wrong if you interpret it that the kingdom of God is really, and this is what they said, God's rule, God's authority, and God's dominion. So whenever you see that's the context that it's mentioned, and you know that has kept me going for a long, long time thinking about that. So much so that in Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, Jesus said, you cannot receive the kingdom of God unless you become like little children. And so the question is, what is it that we receive? If you have to become like a little child to receive the kingdom, the rule, the authority, the dominion, then what is it we receive? The answer is God's rule. He rules over us, and we declare him Lord of all. The reason that Christ came to earth was to overthrow the rule of Satan and to establish the kingdom of God. That was his whole purpose. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, he says, then comes the end. This is Paul writing. He says, then comes the end, which I think we are moving towards the end. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all these enemies under his feet. And listen to this. The wonderfulness of this statement. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Yes, but it will be destroyed. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. And then I think of John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Isn't that a statement? Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He never will see it. He'll never understand it. And yet it's available for all of us. The kingdom of God means the defeat of the enemies of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Well, all of those verses in there, 25, 26. And he delivered the kingdom to God. I think of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, through death, that he might destroy him who has the power of death. That is, the devil. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he's come to destroy the devil's work. That's what we do here. This is what we do in our lives, is that we destroy the devil's work by our obedience to the king. And as I yield my life and drop my knee to him, and then you do, and then you do, and the kingdom of God spreads. Why? Remember, the authority, the dominion, the rule that comes when we yield to the Lord. If there's any conflict because that I will not bow my knee, then the kingdom of God cannot advance in any way. The kingdom of God reveals its power in the three stages of the defeat of Satan. And I think this is very, very quite profound, is that there would be stages why the Lord hasn't destroyed everything yet. He's going to, but he hasn't destroyed it all and set up his kingdom. It's coming. the kingdom of God has come, in a sense, is coming, but not yet. But the three stages. Number one, stage number one, the cross. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities, and he put them to open shame. Wow, that's the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of darkness, to destroy the work of the devil. And so the cross is the first thing. And so we sing it. We say, Lord, we just proclaim you. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you. We love you. We want to tell you that. And we thank you for Calvary's victory. Right? That's what we were rejoicing in, Calvary's victory. All that you have done on the cross. How we thank you. How the enemy must have shuddered when Jesus went to the cross. I'm sure the devil would have done anything to keep him from going to the cross. And yet he went and won the victory, but not all of the victory here today, now. And that's kind of confusing in sometimes. Well, if the Lord has come, how come the world's the same kind of a mess it's in? Because it's in stages. Stage number one is the cross. And that's the power of it. But there's a second, and that is the abyss. At the beginning of the millennium, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, if you just want to make note, even if it's not in the notes, just take note of that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 23 to 25, it just talks about this great victory that had been won, and it was powerful, but it was the beginning of the millennium. And then the third stage is the lake of fire at the end of the millennium rule, which is 1,000 years, right? So 1,000-year period of time. And the lake of fire, and when we see that by the third stage, then the devil and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, and he says to be tormented forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. And the Lord wraps everything up and presents it to the Father. And the battle has been won. So we see the Lord destroying Satan's work throughout the Gospels. So it started many years ago when Jesus came the first time. We see the Lord destroying Satan's work. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. Mark chapter 1, 23 to 27. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God, and he demonstrated the good news of the kingdom by delivering men from the bondage to Satan. That's one of the reasons we know that there's a work being done. It's right now, today, there are parts of the kingdom that we see, and we rejoice in, and we bless the Lord for those wonderful things. So there was a question. The question is, what is the gospel of the kingdom? When we read that in Scripture, what is the gospel of the kingdom? And here it is, that God is now acting among men to deliver them from bondage to Satan. The kingdom has already come. Is that if somebody comes in and says, I need prayer so badly. Could somebody help me? Could somebody pray with me? And we rush over to them and we lay hands on them for their healing, for their restoration, for their encouragement, for their whatever else there would be. And we're able to say, we just want you to know that the kingdom of God has come. That already there are people being saved. Already there are people being healed. Already there are people being delivered. It's already happening. And Jesus started that, and wherever he went, that the power was released, and we saw glimpses of the kingdom of God. Not all of it. And by the way, I think when we don't get along well in church, when there's petty things and jealousies and all kinds of just crazy stuff that happens to churches, I don't know why. Maybe I do know why. But whenever that happens, the kingdom of God comes to a screeching halt, whereas the work cannot be done that he wants to do. Because there's authority, we come under the authority and the dominion of the Lord, And we must get along. Why? For the sake of the kingdom of God. We must get along. We must figure out, if there's conflict, we must figure out how to change that. Because you're hindering the progress of the kingdom of God. Everything is about the kingdom, in my mind. That's the authority, the rule of the Lord. And so, he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God, and he demonstrated it by delivering people. This is the joy of this thing. We're living in the kingdom. We are rejoicing in all that the fruit of that and the joy of that and the power of that. And now that God is now working among men. To me, it's a phenomenal thing. God God in the person of his Son is actively attacking the very kingdom of Satan himself. See, the devil, they say, oh, the devil's attacking our church. Well, there's an error there. It's the church is attacking the devil. The kingdom of God has come and will continue to come, but it's no wonder the enemy is afraid, because it's already been announced. Jesus announced the coming of the kingdom. And we rejoice. We say, yes, yes, amen, amen, amen. You have conquered, and you will. At the cross, at the abyss, at the end of the millennium, these are the high points where Satan is dealt with and he ultimately cast into the lake of fire. I think of Matthew, so how powerful that is. And verse 29 of chapter 12, I think it's chapter 12. How can one enter and a strong man's house and plunder his house unless he first binds the strong man? Much of what we do is we're binding the strong man. And then indeed, he says, he may plunder his house. The strong man's goods are men and women who are under his influence. And so we come to Luke chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 17. He says, heal the sick, for the kingdom of God has come near you. You know, that powerful thing, right? If we minister to somebody here today, we can say the power of God is here. The kingdom, because there's kingdom power. And for people to be delivered from darkness. Heal the sick, the kingdom of God has come near. See people delivered, the kingdom of God has come near. The evidence of the kingdom of God is always a demonstration of God's power or God's authority. I don't know if healing is in the atonement or not. I know I could be strung up by that. But I don't think it is in the atonement. I think it's in the kingdom. In other words, God's love and joy for us is that he wants us to experience things. But it's not like it has to be every time. The Lord is a loving God. So I think it's in the kingdom rather than the atonement. That's just my thought on that. But one thing we can be sure of, and these are little things that we see that God has come near, and we're at a time in history where the kingdom of God is advancing and the violent take it by force. Remember, there's an aggressiveness about us. There is an authority about us. And we are serious about the calling of God on our lives because we see that the kingdom of God has come. And it's just a matter of time, dear ones. It's just a matter of time when the trumpet sounds and that white stallion comes forth, which is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the whole world, imagine that, the whole world sees the coming of the Son of God. And we rejoice in that. We say, wow. And so haste the day, Lord. Haste the day. Come, Lord Jesus. That's why when we say the prayer, we can't say it with a kind of a lightness. Your kingdom come, your will be done. No. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what we pray. Powerful prayers for the kingdom to come. Because if the authority and the dominion and the rule arrives here to our where we live, we say, the Son of God has come. The kingdom of God has come to do his work. And how powerful is that? Yes, so powerful. And that's why we get up in the morning, we say, Lord, extend your kingdom through me today. Your authority, your dominion, everything there is about you, extend it through me. Lord, advance what you're doing. I pray that I won't be in the way, but I will be used of you and my brothers and my sisters. And we thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is coming, your will is being done. So, what are some of those signs? What are those signs that we look for, that we know that God's kingdom is advancing? Well, I would say number one, I don't think that chart might help you too much, but changed lives is the most obvious thing. When lives are changed, you know, the gospel comes into their heart, they believe on the Lord Jesus, their sins are forgiven, and their lives are just changed. And this is why we rejoice, don't we? When we see somebody puts their hand up and we say, would you like to know the Lord? And they, yeah, I'd like to know the Lord. And we just thank God for that. And we see that life change. We say, wow. Well, when the kingdom of God comes near, people's lives are changed. Right? People's lives are changed. That's how we know. It's the power of that. And it's not the only thing, but it's a good indication that we're proclaiming something that is a very powerful thing. There's a second thing that is equally an evidence for us, and that is the healing of bodies. In Scripture, it's a sign that God has come among us. Now, I would say maybe not so much for the saints who are going to heaven anyway, but nevertheless, the healing of bodies for those that come. Because I think he has a special thing about people who are seeking him. That they, you know, they've got this hunger in their heart and their life, and they finally, somebody takes them, brings them to church, and they don't know what's all about necessarily, but they hear there's this God, and they have this serious problem, and we say to them, would you like us to pray? Now, why would we do that? Because God's kingdom is advancing. It's one of the signs. And so we would gather around. And I've seen this many, many times. It's kind of a wonderful thing. And it's like almost like a shield all the way around. And we gather around. Some are kneeling, some are standing, and they're laying hands. And the laying on of hands comes down. And we say, oh, Lord, have mercy upon this individual and heal them now. Heal them that they will know that there's a God that loves them and cares for them, and that they can receive the kingdom of God themselves here today. Wow. And you know what that's like, isn't it? And there's people wiping their eyes, and we tippy-toe around that situation, you know, that maybe just over here, and we tippy-toe around it, and we say, oh, man, this is great. What's happening? The kingdom of God is advancing. And when they come back, they said, my back is so much, it's healed. Well, would you like to give your heart to Jesus? Oh, yes. I don't know what to do. We'll pray with you. And the kingdom of God advances. See, that the power of that, the wonder of that, the joy of that. Number one, changed lives. Number two, the healing of bodies. That's, it just comes with it. It's a very important part of it. It's just the joy of it all. Oh, Lord, thank you for that. So, and then there's a third thing, and that is the casting out of evil spirits. Now, for many church people, that's just the end of the way. Oh, devil and demons, and I don't want anything like that in anywhere near our church. Well, when many times, some of you who've known us for a while, that down through the years, we've had, while we were praying for people, there was manifestations of the enemy. Of somebody shouting out, somebody else falling on the ground. And we've had that. And what's kind of odd is that the saints were all afraid, but they've got it wrong in their thinking, in my mind. It should not be you that are afraid if something manifests. It should be the devil afraid that if he comes in and there's 300 people in here, guess who should be afraid? The enemy himself should be afraid, because the church has recognized the authority of Christ. And so we say, there's so many people, hundreds of people in a given year probably come, and they are in deep demonic darkness. And all the you can medicate, but you can't medicate a demon out. And you can't it doesn't work like that. You might try, but it doesn't work. It just isn't. So there's this authority that we've been given, and as a result of that, we have the right to cast out. If the enemy comes close, we draw near by the authority of the one who died for us and rose again for us. And it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. And so that we are prepared to do what the Lord said to do. So changed lives, healed bodies, and casting out of evil spirits. And so I ask the question, has it ever happened much? Well, the reason for it is because we don't understand how this is the kingdom advancing. And those things are just part and parcel. They're just like, it's like washing dishes or something, or cleaning toilets or something. It's just part of the thing. We understand that. We don't make a big deal about it. We just know that God's at work, and the Spirit of God is moving among us. But what a thing to belong to the Lord, that we're a part of something so powerful. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And if you looked at the story, he said, when you ministered, he said, when you went forth in my name, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw that the enemy's power had been broken. And he said, I saw lightning, just like lightning. Now, does that mean he's disappeared? No, it didn't disappear. Just saying that your simple obedience to me, said, I saw the effects of it. And so the perfect blessedness has not yet come. This isn't perfect, because people still get sick sometimes and they die every time. God recalls all his products. Death has not yet been destroyed. It hasn't yet. It will be, but it hasn't yet. But God's kingdom is at work in the world. And that's why even little things like this, in March 17th, I'll remember this one, what I know. March 17th, there's that Billy Graham outreach, his son, Franklin Graham. And they're expecting 18,000 people at the auditorium to present the gospel to the city of Vancouver. They call them festivals now. It's not called crusades, festivals. And what was the one purpose, and the one purpose alone, is that an atmosphere would begin to grow between now and then so that lives are touched and people can invite. There's a process for people to invite them and then to enjoy the music and enjoy the, I think there's three nights it would be. But I know this, somebody, maybe not somebody, maybe many, will be saved. You just know that. Right? And what does that prove? That the kingdom of God is advancing. This is what's going to happen. So there will be. That's why we have to pray, even now leading up to that day. It's not, I hope that you're not waiting for a chance to share something with the Lord, and it's another 8, 10 months or something. I hope there's many chances before then. But this is one. This is one opportunity that would be worthwhile, because you never know. Your neighbor or somebody says, I'd like to go to that. I saw a thing on TV about it. And so I wouldn't mind being a part of that. And I said, yeah, that'd be good. But all I know is that the angels will encamp over that thing, that auditorium, and the enemy will be full force to discourage and malign and change things if he could. And that's why they're really concerned that we have maximum, not a little prayer. You can't impact a whole city by one somebody doing a little tiny prayer. So we must, call unto the Lord and ask him to come, Lord Jesus. Come with all of your, let your kingdom come to Vancouver. Let your will be done in Vancouver. Kind of interesting. In Acts chapter 1, this is Jesus when he rose from the dead. He spoke to them about the things of the kingdom of God. 40 days to speak of the things of the kingdom of God. That's in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 28, Paul is saying farewell. Last line, you can look at the last line of chapter 28. And he was proclaiming. People were coming to his house, and he was proclaiming the kingdom of God. That was his message at the end of his life, proclaiming the kingdom of God. And so the perfect blessedness has not yet come, but God's kingdom is at work in the world. Now, do you and I believe it or not? That's a good question. Do we actually believe that the kingdom of God is at work among men and women, and the enemy is engaged with us in a mortal struggle with evil as he seeks to gain more and more of the world's attention? And we are praying that Jesus, we say, come quickly, Lord. Come quickly, Lord. And I think there will always be great conflict. I think there will always be. I don't think there will be a time when there's not. But there will always be a time of great conflict between the kingdom of God and the principalities and the powers of Satan. As long as we are actively proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom to people everywhere. And so the invitation always is, would you like to enter the kingdom of God? Would that be a thing for you? You would want, and if that person says yes, I'd like to receive the kingdom. Well, you know what? You must give all. It demands all. And you'd like to come. It's not just a matter of praying a prayer. Would you like to give your life to Jesus? You say yes. I'd like to do that. Good. Because we'll pray with you. And that person prays and receives the Lord. And it's just a remarkable, absolutely remarkable. I, you know what I can remember? It was in Winnipeg, in, I don't know, what year it was. A long time ago. Whenever David Wilkerson and Nikki Cruz and all those guys were around. 1870 or something. I don't know. It's a long time ago. And I was living in Winnipeg at the time. And the pastor convinced me, or worse, to be a part of it. And so I went for the training. As this thing coming up, we'll have some training too as well. And so I went down there, whatever it was, for the training, and not really knowing fully what that was going to mean. But so there we are. He announced, he said, all those that want Jesus in their life to be their Lord and be their Savior, come up and bring all your drugs and bring all your needles and bring them. There was a huge, big pile. I mean, just a pile of drug paraphernalia and things and knives and everything. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. I can hardly believe I get to see that happen. And all of a sudden, somebody's tapped me on the shoulder. You're one of the counselors, aren't you? You know, there's probably 1,000 people standing there, right? Maybe more. And I know I was just standing here. They said, "Well, we need you. Go counsel that man over there." You know, it's kind of interesting. I was terrified. I had never knowledgeably prayed for somebody. I don't think I'd ever have up to that point. I'm pretty sure I didn't. And so I went over to him and said, "Excuse me, would you like prayer?" And I gave him my name. And yes, he's crying, right? And so we knelt beside in the first row of this auditorium. And I prayed for him to receive Jesus. And he's thanking me. And we gave him a Bible and everything. You know, I was flying. I had never seen that or done that, because I had come from a tiny little town, right? We never even had those kind of things then, but it was remarkable. It was remarkable. Not so much that, I mean, anybody might have come forward, I suppose, but there was this opportunity for the kingdom of God to advance, and I played one tiny little part of it. Can I help you? Yes, I'm so messed up. Yes, oh, that's all. You received the Lord. And another guy came, and then we were praying, and it was fantastic. That was my very first time. I had never, acknowledgeably, I'd never done that before. After that, I knew that in a way, I wouldn't be quite the same. It was kind of more, as Elsie said, more dangerous. Because it was just this opportunity to pray with somebody, to have them receive Christ. Wow. So as long as we are proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, people will come, and some will be in great need and despair and discouragement. And we always say, listen, be of good cheer. Your life can be changed. Your body can be healed. The casting out of evil spirits. What have you come for? What can we do? How can we help you? And when that person says, I need a miracle in my life, say, good. We're going to pray for that miracle. Someone else says, I need the healing. Oh, we'll pray for the healing. Because the kingdom of God, that is the gospel of the kingdom. God is actively moving among people right up till we start hearing about the abyss and about Satan being bound, because he will be bound. And then, oddly enough, then the Lord lets him out again. Amazing story. Right, he lets him out again, and then he goes and deceives the earth for a longer period of time, and then finally he's brought and put in chains, but he's not in chains yet. And so there's a great, huge battle that we're involved in. And I think the enemy would like us to think that, like, you know, we're having a cup of tea or something, and we don't want to do anything that would be, no, it wouldn't be very comfortable. This is violent stuff, in the best word of use of violence. I'm not talking about physical violence. But this is opportunities we have. People, I think the kingdom of the evil is advancing. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. There just seems to be a despair over the world. What's next, right? What's falling apart next? And here we are, not hiding from wondering what's going to, but to say, Lord, here we are. We know what time it is. We know it's time to strap on the armor and to be active and look for opportunities and to advance. And that's what we're here for. We may sing songs, we may have Bible studies, but we're here to advance the kingdom of God. And we won't be happy until we see that happening. It's very encouraging. It's very exciting in my mind. And to know that this thing that we are in, this living in the kingdom, it's how you enjoy your life. You get up in the morning, you meet people, you have a chance to chat with somebody. You don't witness with everybody, but you're conscious. Say, Lord, what a nice person that person was. Just pray you'd really touch them. Thank you, God, for opportunities. If there's anything you can use me at, that would be fine. So you see, you go around through life doing just very natural, normal things, but the kingdom of God advances, and it's powerful. I'm going to ask for a couple, if you have any questions about what I said. We'll pray after, but does anybody have a thought that your understanding, what is your understanding of the kingdom of God? No, not if, well, maybe something. Yeah, I think over the years, I probably say, by the way, I think somebody doesn't like what you did here today, and that's open your heart to the Lord, and so don't be surprised if you feel a bit discouraged in the days ahead. But I don't think you don't want to say, it doesn't happen every time where someone's just depressed after that. It's just that there is a reaction, I think, yeah. No, anybody else has an answer for her. But I think, yeah, I think you can do that okay. But I don't think it's, she was oppressed though, right?
Yeah. But I did say discouraged, but I just didn't want to scare her.
No, exactly. No, exactly. So maybe you just can go light on that.
Yeah.
And the chance may, you know her. Oh, well, it'll come around again then. Say, how are you doing? Are you feeling well? And they said, I feel still feeling very discouraged. What a great opportunity to pray. Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, that's good. Anybody else? I think if we were to ask the question, what is God doing in our church? How is the kingdom of God advancing in our church? That's a good question, right? Because we see, these are the things we should see, change lives. If there's no one's life changing, we should really be concerned. I just think we should really be concerned. And if no one's ever getting healed, and nobody's ever getting delivered or anything, should we not be about our Father's business? Those are little just cautions. We don't want to be just down the rescue mission. Souls would be saved. Yes, of course souls would be saved. But what about here? What is God doing here where we pray for people and see them encouraged and strengthened? Yeah. Yeah. Please, Rebecca. Yes.
So when Jesus came, he came to do the will of the Father. So he hallowed this earth. So we, as a born again Christian, we are the follower. So we are in the kingdom because of what Jesus did on Calvary. Mm-hmm. So as I was called, so we are called to be
yes.
the children of the kingdom.
Yes.
And as called, we have to be chosen, right?
Yes.
And we have to be faithful.
Yes, yes.
So it's like I'm representing Jesus here on earth in everything I do, what I say, I'm representing the Father that's living in me. I'm different from the world out there, different the way they live. So when I live that, like the now, like it comes to like love, the first commandment is love the Lord your God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So how can we bring others to Him? Right? First we love God.
Yes.
Passionate about our King, you know, and then we bring others to His kingdom. And actually, I invited like two people today, and one was sick, and the other one said, "Can I come next week?" But yes, like we are called to be a representative here on earth, so that we could advance the kingdom.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Here.
Yes.
And
that. Yeah.
I have a vision, like I want to see all the neighbor here that will come. You might not have any more space to sit because they're coming.
Yeah, good word. That's what we get up in the morning so we can advance the kingdom that day. Mark. Yes. Yeah. The whole planet, exactly. Wow.
In a sense, Jesus bound him then.
Yes.
Because after that the gospel spread and through the whole the entire world it had spread ever since.
Yeah.
Now we've got radios and we've got iPhones and we've got everything else. Like it's incredible. And in one sense, it was at the cross
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Yeah, it's all over the whole world. Yes. And well, let's get somebody else. Is another? I thought I saw one more here. Yes. If you're not, you don't have to worry about it because he doesn't bother anybody. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else? Oh, yeah. Yes.
So if something is stirring in this church, that's amazing. So let's embrace it.
Yeah, amen. what Mark said about Israel at that point was about that big and that influential. And yet out of that mustard seed, right, comes some huge, amazing things, including your salvation and my salvation. We were included somehow in all that thing with Israel as well. But it's, yeah. So rejoice in what the Lord, how he wants to use you. Make it your goal to advance things. Whatever you can advance the Lord. Yeah, amen. Amen. Let's stand. Pretty exciting. The rule, the authority, the dominion. Wherever he rules, the kingdom of God has come. If we're in unity together, the kingdom of God has come. If we're reaching out to people, caring and loving, the kingdom of God has come. That's that simple. It's that very beautiful. And if he's not ruling, then we know we've got some work to do in our hearts. So, dear Lord, we thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you for Calvary's cross. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, that the enemy we know has been defeated.
Yes.
It's just a matter of time. And we know that, Lord, you're alive and you're moving.
Yes.
And you're at work in the lives of men and women.
Yes.
And we thank you that, Lord, please use us.
Yes.
And we want to be those people that advance things. And we'll thank you and give you praise and honor and glory. And thank you, Lord, that we're alive at such a time as this.
Lord.
We've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' strong name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Coffee pot is on the patio. I think it'll be just about the right temperature, so please join us if you can.